This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The dollar is showing strength, and there's an anticipated USDA report coming out. Market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, speaks about the main players in the grain markets this week.
Well, there's a couple of focuses in the grain markets. First of all, we've had a very strong dollar of late, followed by, well, I guess it peaked on Friday when we had this explosion upward in the value of the dollar following a U.S. jobs report and negative economic data overseas. So the U.S. dollar looks very strong for quite some time. And that, as we've been moving up to that level, has caused a lot of money, fund money, to come out of the commodity sector. Well, after peaking on Friday, we've seen it pull back, correct lower, hasn't broken the charts or anything, but just a correction lower to correct an overbought situation. And as a result, some money has come back into the commodity sector. So money coming into the commodity sector tends to decrease losses and accelerate gains in the grain and oilseed markets. Then we have Friday's USDA crop report coming out. And USDA, of course, is known for its surprises. The trade expects USDA to add about 3 bushels per acre to the corn yield and anywhere from a half to one bushel to the soybean yield. We think it'll be bigger than that based on the analog years, other similar years, and USDA's behavior in those years, and on our own yield reports from our clients across 13 states in the Midwest. We think it'll be larger than that. But the trade, already having large short or sold positions, knowing USDA's tendency for surprises, got nervous and started taking profits, and that profit-taking lifted prices, the money coming into the broader commodity sector because of the weakening dollar over the last few days, accelerated those gains. We triggered chart signals and just added to it. That's starting to run its course, it appears, right now, and we're just simply settling into squaring positions ahead of the report.
Now, does one of these impact the trade's mindset more so if the USDA decreases acreage but increases the potential yield? Which one of those would be more important in the mindset of the trade, or would they balance each other out?
And that's the big question, whether they'll balance each other out or not. And so the bottom line comes down to what USDA projects for ending stocks. Ending corn stocks in the last report were estimated to be at 2 billion bushels. But then we had a bearish stocks report suggesting smaller than expected feed usage on September 30th. That would suggest higher ending stocks if the yield was left the same and acreage were left the same. So anything above 2 billion bushels is basically bearish. Anything below 2 billion bushels for a carryout from Friday's report would suggest we still have a lot of corn, but maybe we've got much of it factored in already. On the soybean side, USDA had been working with a 475 million bushel carryout. The stocks report on the 30th suggested stocks are tighter than first believed, which would pull it back closer to a little over 400 million. But then you raise the yield. What do you do with acreage? And in the end, it comes back down. Are we able to pull those ending stocks below 400 million? Or does a high yield push us over 500 million? Either way, it's a lot of soybeans. But with soybeans, the expectation we're going to see expanded production in South America adds another bearish tone over it. And so I don't really think you get anything bullish about soybeans unless you really pull it down much closer to 300 million bushels, and that's highly unlikely.
All right. And I have many farmers around here selling their corn for under $3. And some are wondering what kind of the floor is going to end up being in terms of low prices for this corn crop. Do you have any idea?
Well, from a future standpoint, we've been looking for the past couple of months at seeing new crop corn prices drop down to, and I'm talking the futures price, down to about the 285 area. And if the national average yield would happen to push above 180, then we could see it actually drop lower than that, maybe 264 or something like that. I'm still sticking with the 285 at that point. So that leaves quite a bit of downside price risk. So farmers really need to be taking heed at the risk that's still there for downside risk. Then we start looking forward beyond and what's going to happen to corn production in the Black Sea region and South America. It's generally expected that that's going to decline. But with the big carryover that we have going into the next year, that doesn't necessarily mean significantly higher prices because we have to use that carryover. When you look at soybeans, if the yields are as high as we believe they are basing on the data we're getting in from our clients across 13 states, then we believe that this yield is much higher. We're looking at ending stocks over 500 million bushels. If South America were to have a short crop because of adverse weather, that could quickly be used up and we could see prices recover. However, if South America has a normal growing season and their expansion is expected to be anywhere from 8 to 10% on production expansion in Brazil and a 4% expansion in Argentina, then we could see our ending stocks stay large for a couple of years and stay significantly low, and we could see soybean futures with a 7 in front of them. So there's still quite a bit of downside risk, much of it depending on what we see happen in South America with their growing season.
It's a good time for farmers to really keep in mind programs that they can have to help deal with risk like this.
Absolutely, and we've built a lot of equity in the farms over the past 5 or 6 years. We want to make sure we protect that equity, do everything we can to try to reduce the losses and be able to make it through this time of low prices. Certainly, it's good to have a high yield. Most farmers have the bushels this year to sell. It's always better to have the bushels at a low price than a high price but no bushels to sell.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Every time the heat and humidity of summer combine to stir up a thunderstorm, many farmers hold their breath because they know what hail can do to standing crops. You can breathe a little easier if you have crop hail protection from Country Financial. It provides acre-by-acre coverage and offers a longer coverage period than most companies. Plus, this year we've added a $45 individual plan and $90 group plan along with our existing replant coverage options. Find out more today. Contact me, Wayne Schaefer, your Country Financial representative. Give us a call at 618-498-5800.
Carlinville Truck Equipment makes industrial rollback equipment loaders, and because of this, they have the equipment and expertise to fix or fabricate just about anything metal around your business or farm. If you need truck or trailer repair, hoist or winch service, custom fabrication, or stock metal, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 217-854-6706 or log on to ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706.
What are people saying about Illinois Farm Bureau? Just listen to David Brigeman, Macoupin County farmer, businessman, and Farm Bureau member.
After making trips to Washington, D.C., I've recognized the need to communicate to legislators what the needs in rural America are and the importance of agriculture in the American economy. My eyes have been open to such issues, which is why I've become an advocate for Farm Bureau.
The value? Legislative activities watching out for your interests. Call Macoupin County Farm Bureau and ask about value. Illinois Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
This weekend, there will be a bull riding contest at Midway Trailer Sales. Randy Littrell is helping coordinate the event. I spoke with him for more information.
Yes, we will be having a bull riding at Midway Trailer Sales October 11th at 7 p.m., which is Saturday evening. We did a rather large event there last year because we had a bucking bull futurity in conjunction with the bull riding. This year, it's just going to be a standalone bull riding, and we'll feature, 12 barrel racers in that bull riding. But it's a National Federation of Professional Bull Riders sanction, so they're competing for points to qualify for the national finals.
So how large of a group are you expecting to compete at this?
We expect 30 to 40 bull riders, and they will be from, basically the Midwest, from Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, down, through Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Illinois, Indiana, just that chunk of the country we live in.
Now, is this going to be primarily what you would call professional bull riders, or are there going to be some others that are more in the amateur category?
You get a little bit of everything. The NFPB is what I would call a regional association, sort of a stepping stone to the PBR or the CBR. Those are the two, predominant large organizations that people are familiar with because they're televised every week and everything. So we're kind of a stepping stone. There's a lot of guys that started in this association that are on TV right now.
Now, what goes into planning something like this? I imagine it's pretty intense planning ahead to, one, get the bulls, and then, two, I imagine there's also a lot of safety things that you need to look into.
There is, and probably the largest thing on safety is your arena. You know, it needs to be safe for the bulls, needs to be safe for the cowboys, and it also needs to contain the bulls and keep them out of the audience. So, and you know, one thing I do have is a portable rodeo arena that, you know, that I lease out, you know, different parts of the country, different rodeos and bull ridings. And so that's a major consideration. But as far as putting the event together, you know, you've got everything from sponsors to advertising, getting cowboys, you know, you have to get it promoted to the cowboys so that they come to your event or want to come. Bulls, and which is primarily what I do, is lease bulls and, you know, haul them all year long pretty much to different events. Got about 25 head of bucking bulls, and I'll need, you know, 40 or 50 to do the event. So, you know, then I'll lease bulls from other guys that I lease my bulls to. You know, it's kind of a trade-off kind of thing. We help each other out. Got to have secretaries, your rodeo announcer, your bullfighters, your funny man or barrel man. And, you know, getting everything coordinated, because that's what all these people do professionally. So they're booked, and they want to be booked. And, you know, they're Donnie Landis, that is the funny man for my event. He's worked the Wrangler National Finals in Las Vegas, and I'm excited to have Donnie coming here. I work with Donnie a lot through the year, but, you know, I don't think anybody's seen him in this part of the country. And so I'm excited to have him. But when I spoke to him the other day, you know, he's booking his events for July of 2015, you know. So you know, it takes a lot of phone calls, a lot of coordination to get people hired, people there, you know. So it's a little bit of a headache at times.
I can imagine. And you said that you primarily work with the bulls. What makes a good bucking bull specifically? What are you looking for when you have bucking bulls?
It's athleticism. You know, some have it, some don't. You know, everybody thinks they need to be mean, and they don't. And honestly, with the breeding programs in the bucking bull business now, I've seen that aggression slowly disappear. I mean, you don't trust them. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're still mean, but they're not aggressive. But it's athletic ability. It's heart. You know, I raise some of my own bulls, and it's just they've either got it or they don't. No different than athletes. Some people are better athletes than others, and the bulls are the same way. And you know, I don't know, you can kind of, you know, you look at somebody walking, you can tell whether they look athletic or not. And that's one thing, you look at the bulls, the way they carry themselves, the way they move, and because they need to be athletes. That's one thing that's always impressed me about the bucking bulls, you know, especially when you watch the videos in slow motion. You think, oh my gosh, how does an animal that big jump that high in the air? And they do. I've got a picture from this summer. And, you know, you look at that picture and you think, how on earth does an animal that big get that high in the air? That's one thing that really impresses me about them.
And I'm sure they have to be healthy enough to be able to go to event after event after event without hurting themselves.
And that's, you know, that's a lot of it, keeping them exercised. Where they're getting used all the time, they're getting exercise from actually bucking. You know, I keep them out on a pasture. I try to keep the pasture as hilly as possible. That makes a big difference. And then one of the challenges, especially like July and August are the two busiest months of the year, and those bulls are on the road a lot, you know. And so you've got to really keep them fed up, keep them in shape, because, you know, they're no different than people. They get tired of being on the road after a while. And, you know, and that's another thing we do. We rest them, we rotate them, you know, and try to keep them from getting tired. You know, we want to keep them in good shape, because they don't work if they're tired.
Right, just like people. Now, once again, one more time, when is this event? And in terms of open to the public, how does the public come out and see it?
It is October 11th, 7 p.m., $10 admission. Children 7 and under are free. And if you Facebook, you can like Shop Creek Cattle on Facebook, and we're going to keep all the details updated and all the information on our Facebook page.
Again, that was Randy Littrell speaking about a bull riding contest that will be taking place this Saturday at Midway Trailer Sales. October is National Pork Month. To celebrate, we will be giving away gift certificates for pork products. If you'd like to enter to win a gift certificate, you can email Angela at WSMIradio.com. In the meantime, here's a fun fact about pork. Baby pigs weigh about 2 pounds when they're born, and it only takes them 5 to 6 months to reach the 265-pound market weight. Again, to enter to win a gift certificate for pork products, you can email me at angela@wsmiradio.com. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.